Well, this week we conclude our series of talks on our Lord's so-called seven sayings of the cross, because we've come to the seventh. The very last words our Lord spoke before he died. Short Bible passage for today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Reads like this. It was now about noon, and there was darkness over the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed out his spirit. When I introduced the series at the beginning of March, I pointed out that to some extent the first and the last of our Lord's seven sayings from the cross act as bookends to the others, in that they, the first and the last, are both prayers beginning at the same address, Father. The first being, some of you might recall, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." When Mervyn, that's Mr. Jones sitting here, spoke to us 2 weeks ago about the central cry of the seven, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he explained that these words were in fact a quotation from one of King David's Psalms in the Old Testament. And I note that my text for today, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," is a quotation from another of King David's Psalms. So let me quote you David's words in that context. He opened the psalm by declaring, "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust," adding just a little later, "into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord." And immediately 2 points of contrast jump out at me between King David's words and our Lord's quotation. The first is our Lord's introduction to David's words, addressing God, as he, our Lord, often did, by an intimate title, which David would never have dared use, namely, Father. The second difference is that our Lord limited his quotation to David's one expression, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." He did not continue, as David did, "You have redeemed me, O Lord," nor indeed could he have added those words. And this for the simple reason that far from needing, like David, to be redeemed, it is to that very cross on which he then hung and prayed that we trace our redemption. Because the New Testament makes it clear that it is in him, the Lord Jesus, and in him alone that, and I'm quoting now, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." But although there were differences, clearly our Lord chose to echo the substance of King David's words because they expressed well his own unbroken trust and confidence in God. Indeed, the very word he used, which we translate "commit," means to entrust something to someone for safekeeping, for its care, its protection. So make no mistake, our Saviour died with the full assurance of his forthcoming resurrection on the third day, just as he often foretold it. He was saying, in effect, "Father, I deposit my spirit into your hands for safekeeping, knowing that you will shortly raise me up again." Our Lord had spent the previous 18 hours or so, as he expressed it, I'm using his words, in the hands of men. But now, in stark contrast, he delivers his spirit directly, not into the hands of men, but into his Father's hands. To me, it's almost as if our Lord was reciting the words of committal at his own funeral. Because shortly after, courtesy, of course, of the services of Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, his body was to be given a respectable burial, except, of course, that our Lord spoke in terms of his spirit, not of his body. There's some evidence from early Jewish writings that devout Jews of our Lord's day prayed those words of David, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," as part of their evening prayers. I suspect my Lord was no exception. If that was so, I can't imagine more suitable words for him to use when he brought his earthly life to a close than those which he had used when he brought each earthly day to a close. And I note that Luke makes it clear he prayed those words at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which, as Luke informs us elsewhere, was the hour of the Jewish evening prayer. I note also, and now from the Apostle John's account of the crucifixion, that immediately after Jesus had prayed these words, and I quote him, "He bowed his head, and he yielded up his spirit," where the word translated bowed indicates that our Lord reclined his head. It's the word he used himself some time before when he warned one impetuous would-be disciple, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head," no place, that is, for him to rest his head. And John is telling us not that our Lord's head fell helplessly onto his chest, but that he peacefully reclined his head, as if letting it sink into a pillow to sleep. And then, we read, "He breathed out his spirit." Now, to my mind, it's as if Luke, who was by profession a physician, it's as if Dr. Luke wants us to know that at that moment, Jesus simply decided to stop breathing. Dr. Luke's description, which is in accord with the descriptions given by the other gospel writers, draws our attention to the fact that, as our Lord himself had asserted, he, our Lord, laid down his life of himself, of his own accord. It's true, of course it is, to say that Jesus was killed. Spoke himself about his death in that way. But in the final analysis, the Lord Jesus was no victim of circumstances. As he declared, no one would take his life from him. That, at the moment of his choice, he would lay it down willingly, freely giving away for others what men thought they were taking away from him. And why so? Well, we know it so well. But let him tell us himself. Speaking in his role as the Good Shepherd, he announced once, "I laid down my life for the sheep," for his people, that is. And that's why every true believer, every follower of our Lord, is entitled to adapt his prayer for themselves when they confront death. Possibly calling out with the very first Christian martyr of whom we know, by name Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." As it happened at the end of last week, I was reading about the martyrdom of John Huss back in the 15th century. John Huss, an early reformer from Prague, was burned at the stake by the then Roman Catholic Church. Among his supposed crimes was that he defended and he spread the teachings of the then dead English reformer John Wycliffe, which included the belief that all people should be free to read the Bible in their own language, which was contrary to the doctrine of the then Catholic Church, which threatened anyone possessing any Bible other than a Latin Bible with execution. At his trial, before his execution, one of the Catholic bishops declared, "Now we commit your soul to the devil," at which point Huss, we read, lifted up his eyes towards the heavens and he prayed, "But I commit my spirit into your hands. Lord Jesus Christ, to you I commend my spirit. which you have redeemed. And when the time comes for us to bid farewell to this present life, may we each be able to sincerely pray that very prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, to you I commend my spirit, which you have redeemed. Shall we pray?